Musicians be seated if you'd like to. You know, I believe the Lord loves to hear us sing, "I love Him. I love Him." We'll sing another song occasionally too, "I love you, Lord." Because of this, I lift up my voice. Amen. You know, my wife, she'll come up to the workplace every now and again, and here lately it's been more frequent because I forget something at home, and she'll bring it to me. And the other day she come through there, and one of the guys at my work, he said, "Man, you got to be the luckiest guy in the world." And I said, I thought he was talking about, because if I forget something, she brings it straight to me. And he said, "I'm not talking about that." He said, "I'm not even talking about the good cooking." He said, "I'm not talking about all the laundry. I'm not talking about how she irons your clothes." And he just naming all this list. I'm like, I didn't realize, yeah, she does do quite a bit. He said, "I'm talking about any time that woman pulls in the parking lot." He said, "Your whole face just lights up." He said, "You are so lucky." He said, "I want that." Because I said, "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what, you magnify that 10 times. That's our love for the Lord." See you, man. It's wonderful to be a Christian. And I believe the Lord loves to hear us to sing, "I love Him," and talk about Him. Just talk about the Lord. It just brightens Him up, I believe. Let's go. I'd like to read a quote first, if that'd be okay, and let her pull up the scripture. If you want to find the scriptures in St. John 8, verses 21 and 22. The quote I'm going to read to you, I'll just go ahead and read that first for you. It says, "Now the first place we want to find out is why this has been the greatest thing I've found among Christian people throughout the entire world has been a fear. They're always afraid. And when a little sickness strikes, they're afraid. Many of y'all wonder sometimes, and now I'm along with you. But now what I'm trying to do tonight and in this week to come is to drive that fear away by God's word." And that's out of Israel and the church. And I just want to read that one scripture, St. John 8, 21 and 22. I'm sorry, I told you the wrong scripture. I typed it wrong. I apologize. It's 31 and 32. I apologize for that. It's 31 and 32. Amen. "Thank you, Lord, for your word. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you for making us free. Lord God, help me to step myself to the side, Lord, and truly to speak from the burden of my heart, Lord. Lord God, touch every heart that's here today. Lord, help us to be receiving for what it is you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. This thing adjusted just right where I can operate up here. Just read another quote here. It says, "Recently there was a young minister come to me, and he told me of a certain situation and said he prayed over it, and he said the Lord revealed it to him. It was a certain way. And I looked at him a little bit and I said, 'Brother, that's very lovely. I said, I appreciate the Lord doing that for you. But let me tell you something. It's contrary.' He said," this is the minister, "he says, 'Well, the vision come from God.' I said, 'It couldn't have, brother, because it was contrary to the word. Now, we must prove all things by the scripture. Not what it's contrary to my faith, and yet the scripture says so. The scripture's right, and I'm wrong, see? The scripture's always right. And the only way you can do anything is come back to the scripture. Now, is that true? Now, I'd like to hear you say amen when you believe it, you see? Amen means so be it." Any doctrine, any dream, any vision that we have, it must align with the word of God. You say amen? I've talked to people of different, they are sold out completely, gung-ho barrel straight. They believe that, you know, it's okay for a woman to minister because, and the reason their tie post is, "I had cancer at that time. And I went through there and she prophesied right through, and I come through the prayer line and she prayed for me and I was instantaneously healed." You can't tell me that women can't preach because of that. But see, they tie to that. But see, God honors himself as a healer. He don't honor her as being a minister. And see, they take the scripture and they misconstrue it. And I was talking to the young people here the other day, and I told them, you know, a doctrine or a revelation, anything, it's kind of like a rug. And when you got this rug, you've got carpet string that go this way, and you've got string that go this way. And it's got to tie from one end all the way down to the other, otherwise your rug's not going to hold together. And that's the way any doctrine, that's the way any dream, that's the way any idea, you want to see if it's according to the Word, see if it lines up with the entire Word of God. It's got to go from one beginning all the way to the end. You say, amen? That is the thing about the message of the hour that we have. It's not just one scripture and say, this is what we tie to in the message of the hour. But the message of the hour actually takes the Old Testament and ties it perfectly as a dovetail with the New Testament.
That's right.
Is that the truth? And that's whenever I'm reminded of Beyond the Curtain of Time, when Brother Brennan was talking to them, they said, where's Paul and his people? And they said, they'll be come up with Paul. And they'll be judged according to Paul's message. And they said, what about all the messengers? They'll be judged according to that also. Brother Brennan said, well, I preached exactly what Paul preached. And all of the saints said, we're resting on that.
That's right.
Because he preached exactly in dovetail with the entire Old Testament. And that's what makes us such a wonderful thing of being a believer. Because we believe not just the New Testament, not just one scripture, not just one quote, but the entire Word of God actually dovetails together. I love being a believer.
Amen.
Someone was asking me the other day, well, even this day, about a certain person that was a successful person in a certain thing that they were doing. And said, oh, Brother Bill, the Lord must be in that. I said, he can't. Oh, said, they're getting souls saved. I said, it can't be. Because if it's contrary to his word, then God isn't going to say one thing and say another thing. He's going to tell you one thing all the way through, see? God can't lie. God is infallible. His words are, in order to be God, he has to be sovereign. So you see? He says, and you say, well, you don't think if God did a certain thing here, and even though his word does say, I said, no. The Bible said, he that takes away or adds one thing that's in the book will be taken out of the book of life for him. God is sovereign. And God and the people that worship him and behold him and worship him in that position will be victorious. You say amen.
Amen.
When we behold God in his position, that's the more higher we can see him by revelation, the more victorious we will be.
Amen.
But the reason a lot of people live under their privileges is because they don't see God in the position he's supposed to be. They see him as a limited God. They see it's a God that can heal me, but he won't. He's a God that did deliver people, but not today. He was a God that did give people full of the Holy Ghost, but not anymore. I'm telling you what, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God did it for anybody, he's got to do it for me. If I come according to God's program. See, this world is working so hard. Satan has got all these little hammers knocking down, trying to knock it down to bring God to such a low level to where people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He's not a God like this plant sitting here that's just something we look and we behold it every day and we talk about how beautiful it is. If I have needs, I can't go to this thing and get my needs.
Right.
It's dead. It's false. And that's the same way it is with a false religion. A tainted religion. I don't want a tainted religion. I want the real thing.
Amen.
I want the real Holy Ghost. Why act like you got the Holy Ghost? Why act like you're speaking in tongues? Why act like you got this when you can have the real thing?
Right.
Why have a fake marriage where people live together like these celebrities? They live together and they stand together in the photos in front of the public. In front of the public, they love each other. There's such a harmony and everyone looks and says, oh, I wish I could be like this celebrity. In the front, they're like that. But then you find out behind closed doors. When the doors are closed, you find out there's affairs going on and everything else, every kind of vile thing, sleeping in different bedrooms and all this nonsense.
Right.
That's just like the religion that people put forth today. In front of everybody, oh, we're so in love with Jesus. Oh, we're so great. We're everything. But let the door shut. When you're behind yourself and you're every adulterous thing in the world inside the home, behind the closed doors, on the front, it's a real thing in the front.
this is the true matrimony. Oh, how I would love to be like brother and sister so-and-so in the front. But behind the closed doors, they're living a vile, filthy, ungodly life. God, let me be real. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to be real. Yeah. Brother Branham talked about the poor people and the young people. You remember? Brother Branham married. He's seen the young people first, and they come through in just a beat-up old car, and she had just a rag, hardly anything on, he said. Rags on. Pulled into the driveway, and they said, we were told that you'd marry us. We don't have any money to pay. And we talked to your brother, and he said that you'd probably marry us. And Brother Graham talked to him. He said, well, I'm a minister. He said, let me just ask you a few questions. He said, I'm going to ask you something, young lady. You love this man? I sure do. Let me ask you something, young man. You love this young lady, or vice versa, the wife and the husband? I sure do. He said, young lady, when things start happening, things aren't going just right, you going to run home to mommy? No, sir. I'll stay right with him. Sir, what about you? You're during a hard time, you going to take up? No, sir. I love her with all my heart. I'll protect her. I love her. I adore her. He said, all right, I'm going to go ahead and marry you. After a long conversation and interviewing, he went ahead and married that couple. And there was this other couple over across the hill. Their parents were so rich they could buy anything they wanted. Had Cadillacs every year, all these things, everything a young lady or young man could want. He gets them together, and through the process, he marries them. And you would look at the front of this, you would say, you know what, surely those rich people would be the happiest people in the world because they've got everything. Brother Brown, he used to walk power lines all the time doing these jobs, and he said, you know what, I just kind of wonder what's going on with them. He said, if I remember right, he said, I played the role of a hypocrite. He said, I walked up to them, he said, I was going through the power lines, and they lived in an old tin barn and had little tackies on there that held their walls of cardboards up inside the cabinet they were staying in, this little tin place. He walked up real close, and as he began to get real close, he began to hear them talking. He got sent through the window, and the young man was sitting there, and they were poor. I mean, they didn't have any money for anything. They were sitting there, and she was sitting in his lap, and he had his money. Just a little bit of coins in his hat. Had his arms around her. He said, honey, he said, I wish I had the money to get you that little dress. He said, I wish I could have got it. You'd have looked so pretty in it. She put her arms around him and said, honey, that's okay. I don't need that dress. I got everything I need right here. And they just loved each other and hugged each other. And there was such a harmony inside the home. He said, you would have looked so good inside that dress. I wish I could have had the money to buy it for you. You'd look so pretty in it. He said, that's okay, honey. Brother Brown walked away, and he said, you know what? They sure do love each other. And he got it posted, and he said, I wonder how that other couple's going over across the hill. This rich people. They walked, so going up the hill, and just about the same way, but this time he didn't hear that loving talking. He heard him halfway up the driveway here, and said, I can't believe you danced with him. I can't believe you danced with her. I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you did that. Arguing with one another. Get closer to the house, and it just gets louder and louder. Brother Brown actually goes to the door. Knocks on the door, and you hear the bickering and the fighting, and all of a sudden, stop. I said, I think it's Brother Brown. They get together, and they said, come here, come here, come here. They open the door, and they said, well, hello, Brother Brown. How are you? We were just talking about how happy we are. Weren't we, honey? Yes, dear. We're so happy. Yes, dear. We were fixing to make breakfast, right? Yes, dear. He knew the truth about that. On the front, they had everything. But behind closed doors, there was no harmony. I want the real thing. I'd rather be poor and have my old hat, have it sitting in my lap and counting coins. I sure wish I could have bought you the dress than to have all the dresses in the world. And don't have that true thing of love. Why would somebody want the fake stuff when you can have the real thing? See, man, that's just in a natural marriage. 10 times more than that of being a Christian. We can be the real Christian and have the real Holy Ghost.
Amen. I did not mean to go over all that. I don't know. Praise the Lord anyhow. Genesis is a seed chapter. And everything started in seed form in Genesis. An important thing to remember is that spirits don't die. People die, but spirits don't die. And the way people act now is the way they did then, because it's the same spirit. Right. Is that the truth? Spirits don't die. Hollywood, same spirits. They've been fighting for years. Pilgrim says, now just look at that spirit, how it rose back there in Cain. How it come down through Ham and through Nimrod and Babylon. And out of Babylon come down into the days of the coming of Jesus. Teachers, Bible students, and they failed to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. These people knew the letter of the law by heart, but they didn't even recognize God when he stood right in front of them. These are men that could quote scriptures. They could. I've heard people say, I don't know how true it is, they said they could roll the scrolls up and hit a pen through it and touch every letter going all the way through it. They knew the letter like no other. But the literal Jesus Christ, God in flesh, stood right in front of them, and they didn't even recognize it. My goodness. Let's go to St. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They had the law. They had the letters right in front of them and didn't realize, we've got it. We've got the truth. And didn't even realize everything that they held was testifying of this one right here. Sound like the bride of Christ, don't it? And today. Jesus was at Bethesda when he quoted this scripture. A sick man was healed while sitting by a pool and took up his bed and walked as he was commanded by the Lord. And then he was condemned by the religious of the people in that day for picking up his bed during the Sabbath. You think about this. These people were so hung up on working this law so tight that this man was literally, he was standing by the pool of Bethesda wanting to be healed. Because every once in a while this angel would come down into the pool and people would be healed. He was waiting there patiently to get in that pool, but every time he tried to get in there, somebody would step out in front of him. You ever felt that way? Sometimes you're really trying to get a blessing from the Lord. You really just need this touch from the Lord, and it seems like somebody else will have the same problem, get prayed for, and their needs will be met. You ever felt that way? I have. I'm sure that's the way this man felt. He would, day after day, he would be so sick, wanting to get in the pool so he could just be healed. And somebody else would step right in for it, and they'd get healed. And Jesus come by, and Jesus healed the man. And not only healed the man, he said, take up your bed and walk. And this man took up, he was healed. This is a man that was sick. This was a man that was dying. Picked up his bed and started walking. How anxious would you be if you were dying and then the Lord healed you? When cancer or something comes knocking on your door, you see people get serious real quick. Their whole everything changes. Their whole attitude on life changes because of something like that. This was a man that was healed and took up his bed and started walking without a doubt. Without a doubt, he had a little bit of a step, a bounce in the step. And these people looked at him and condemned him and said, how dare you to move on the Sabbath? How dare you to pick this up on the Sabbath day? Forget about the healing. How dare you do this? And he said, who did this to you? So I don't know who he was. Man had rejected the way the Lord was going to come and see, was going to come, since they didn't come the way expected, they missed him. Jesus went to Bethesda, and whenever he done that, the Lord completely healed this man because he didn't come the way they expected him to. They condemned him. Because if he's going to heal, that man would have to step into the pool. That's the only way he can be healed. But Jesus come another way. You ever notice that many times the people have missed the Lord because they said, if he comes, this is the way he's going to come. If the Lord's going to heal me, it'll be when this minister comes. This minister will speak this. This musician will be here. He'll be playing this song. That's when I'll receive my healing. And people have such a projection of saying this is the way it's going to come that they miss it a lot of times. Sometimes it'll be just a simple service. And the Lord can do more than he can do if there was 50 different people here.
Right.
Because it's our attitude and our approach toward this. Think of it whenever people have always had this projection of the way things are going to come. When Jesus was going to come, being born in the flesh,
They had their projection of how he was going to come. They said, if he comes, he'll come through this church. He'll come through this way. He'll come. This is the way he'll come. He'll come through this Caiaphas. If Jesus is going to be born, Manuel is going to be born, this is the way he's going to come. And because he came a different way, they didn't accept it. They would not accept it. In the same way today, if there was ever to be a prophet come, it'd have to come from the Pentecostals. It'd have to come through this denominational. If it don't, this can't be Malachi 4. Is that the truth? People have a projection of how it's going to come, and because it don't come that way, they miss it. They said if he was going to be born, the religious, their ideas, he was going to come through our church. If God's going to give some great revelation, it'll come through this church or this organization. But God comes so simple, they absolutely missed him. So we read this quote. It says, why she was coming home, this is talking about Mary. While she was coming home in an oriental top, probably it was on a Monday, she was packing her wash water on top of her head, maybe in a jar as they did, walking along. And all at once, before she flashed a big light, and she frightened the little virgin. And she looked, and there was Gabriel standing on the side there, said, "Hail Mary," or "Stop." Said, "Blessed art thou among women." Said, told her how that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in her old age and was going to bear a child. And said that she was going to have a child knowing no man. I want you to stop and think about this. Her cousin Elizabeth was an old woman, with her husband Zechariah. Zechariah was going into the temple, doing what he does. And the Lord told him that your wife is going to bear a child. This was a man that was studied in the scriptures. And him being studied in the scriptures, he was familiar with other older women that were barren, that had a child. Sarah. This was a man that was very intelligent in the scriptures. He knew that he was aware of somebody else being in the same situation that he was in. And God had met the need. And they told him, this angel said, your wife is going to conceive and bear a child. And he would not believe it. And because he wouldn't believe it, the Lord actually made him mute, where he couldn't talk. Amen? Mm-hmm. I know this is elementary, everybody knows this, but I think it's good to go back to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. This was a man that, this is what had just happened. This man knew the scriptures, knew what would happen, and it crossed his path, and he wouldn't accept it. I wonder how many people do that today. Probably it was on a Monday. She was packing her washing on top of her head. Maybe it was a jar as they did, walking along. And all at once, before her, flashed a big light. And it frightened the little virgin. She looked, and there was Gabriel standing by her side. Said, "Hail Mary," or "Stop." Said, "Blessed art thou among women." Said unto her how that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in her old age and was going to bear a child. And said that she was going to have a child, knowing no man. Now look at the difference between Zechariah, that minister, who had studied the scriptures over and over and over and over and over again, had plenty of examples. There were Sarah and Hannah and so forth, back in the Old Testament, plenty of examples. He doubted it to be so. But this little girl didn't doubt. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." What a difference. This is what he says. He says, now sometimes you can callous yourself reading the Bible just like reading a newspaper and having about the same kind of faith that you would have in one, then you callous yourself. When you read God's word, believe it just the way it says it there, and take God at his word. Think of it. He's saying, this is Brother Branham talking about. You can callous yourself by reading the word like a newspaper. I'm thankful for the apps. I was bragging on it this morning. I've got this fancy little watch that will pop my scripture up every day, and I'll read my scriptures, and I love that. I thank God for it. And we as Christians, we read our Bibles. We pray every day. But Brim said, we need to be careful because we can become calloused by reading the scriptures like a newspaper.
That's right.
Because we lose our reverence to God. We lose that reverence of realizing He is a supernatural. Remember, I'm talking about the sovereign God we're talking about earlier. He's lifted up higher. And what that devil will do, he'll chip and chip and chip and chip and chip and bring that holy, sovereign God down, lower, 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 lower. Well, we don't even reverence Him like that. That's why so many people will not even recognize when the rapture takes. And you'll see it here in just a little bit. That's why they won't even recognize Him, because they don't even recognize the presence of God anymore. It's come to the point where they think that the lights, the feeling of the music, all these things are the presence of the Lord. They'll say, oh, it was a service. How much did they preach? Well, they didn't really preach. There was too much excitement going on. It was so much, we didn't want to stop God's movement. I'm going to tell you something. God will move through preaching His word.
Right.
Is that the truth?
Yeah, that's right.
That is the way God will move. He'll move through the word, because His word will start growing in your life. You want to know if how you're growing as a Christian? I'm going to show you how. It ain't because of how you feel, how the Holy Ghost wants. It's how is the word growing in your life? How is the word moving me and changing me and molding me and transforming me to look like the Word? Because there should be a growing process. There should be a maturing process. And we got to seek all our own salvation with fear and trembling. Every one of us, if we can't hold on to daddy's coattail, we can't hold on to uncle's coattail, we can't hold on to grandma's coattail, husband's coattail, we have got to seek out our own salvation with the Lord and say, God, help me draw closer to You.
Right.
We've got to, that's our measuring stick. Is how much is this word, this message, maturing me in my life? God is still the holy God. He is still the I am that I am that Moses took his shoes off because he was on holy ground. Remember, it wasn't the holy mountain. It was the holy God on the mountain. So holy, Moses took his shoes off before the Lord. He's still the God that separated the waters. He blinded them at Sodom. He put life into barren wombs. He is still the God that proved there was a difference between the Egyptian and the Hebrew. God proved there was a difference by performing His word in His people and delivering His people. All He has ever wanted for His people is to recognize Him. I want you to think about this. All He's ever wanted is people to recognize Him for who He is and respect His holy name. That's all God wants. He wants people to recognize Him of who He is and behold Him. In the days of Abram, he just wanted him to believe him that he would have the son. In the days of Joshua, he just wanted them to stay away from the false gods. He wanted them to simply believe him and already gave them the land that they were already his people. It's all God wants. He says, all I want you to do, I'm giving you the land. I'm giving you everything that you have need of. All I want you to do is believe me. That's all I want from you. If you just simply believe in me, I can do it. I'm telling you what, a man that's going through something, he's got his wife beside his side, it's the best thing he could ever have. Because all he needs is her to believe in him. Because whenever she believes in him, she can tell him, baby, you can do it. I'll stand by your side. I'm telling you what, there's nothing more beautiful than a husband and a wife. And I'm telling you what, there's nothing more powerful than the bride of Christ, her husband. She's a direct reflection of who he is.
Amen.
You want to see what a man's made of? Look at his wife. Brother Graham talked about how he went to that one minister and he was talking about how great he was and, you know, how great this wife was and all these wonderful things. And the wife come up there and had paint all over her face and everything else. And he said, this is my wife. Ain't she a saint? Brother Graham said, she looked more like a Hank to me. You know, Hank's a ghost. Because she's a reflection of who he is. She can say she's got all these things right here on the inside, but the outside is a direct reflection of what's on the inside. Is that right? You want to know what a man's been thinking about? What he's been meditating on? Listen to the way he talks. Because a man will speak from the abundance of his heart. Amen. There was a man at work yesterday saying some kind of vile thing. And I told him, I said, a man will speak from the abundance of his heart. And it looked like he swallowed a walnut. You know what? The word has got power.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Amen.
This word has got power. And you want to know what? And you want to know what you're meditating on? You stop and examine yourself. What do I talk about?
And that'll show you what you've been meant, because you will speak from the abundance of your heart. Amen. He simply wanted them to allow him to take place in them, the position of the authority that he saw them in, the foundation of the world. Think of it. God wants us to see ourselves in the position that he saw us in before the foundation of the world. What more does a father want? When my brother Tony had little Ben coming, he already had in his mind the talks they're going to have. The times they'll be able to sit around the campfire. And he can talk to him, father and son. And they can fellowship lip to ear. And he can look at him and say, my son, this is what I think about the matter. Say amen. Amen. Before he was ever born, he had a desire. Why? There's something on the inside of him says, I've got a son. And because he had that deep call to the deep for a son, deep inside him, there was going to be a Ben. It may not be number one. It may not be number two. It may not be number three. It may not be number four. If it had to be number 10, God forbid, there would be a Ben. Because a father had a deep call to the deep on the inside. I've got a son. And I'm telling you what, that's the way my God feels about us.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, there was a deep call to the deep inside God. And God had this deep call that I will have a bride. I will have her and she will be arrayed in fine linen. She will be so beautiful. Without a blemish, God had a deep call to the deep for a bride. And in order for God to have a deep call for a bride, I had to be over here. You say amen? So I'm going to make it, not because of me, not because of what I can do, but because of a deep call to the deep in God's heart before the foundation of the world. Amen. If that don't make you want to shout, that your shouters wore out, I'm telling you. So it's not what I can do. It's his deep call to the deep before the foundation of the world. That's why I'm going to make it. Amen. I think I'm going to take a rapture. It ain't what I can do. It ain't how I fail. Because even though I may fail 1,000 times before the foundation of the world, God's calling, his longing said, I will. I am the sovereign God. I am the almighty God. I'm the of every other name. I have a deep call to the deep for a bride. And they're going to come out of Van Buren. And though they may have trials, it don't matter. God don't even see those things. God looks at the finished product. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
My wife here, I said it here a few Sundays ago. I come home and my wife had my dinner made, a candlelight dinner on the table. My goodness, she looked beautiful. And she was, and I, when I got in, she was scrambling around the oven. And she said, oh, you showed up too early. She said, I ain't got to do nothing with my hair. I ain't got to do none of this. I was wanting to change my clothes. I said, you look perfect exactly the way you are. And I'm telling you what, that's the way it is with us, I believe, when God looks at us. You know, we're going through life and we're having to do the things we have to do in this life, rubbing shoulders with the world, and maybe our hair's not exactly right. And I'll say, oh God, help me, because I gotta get ready because he's coming soon. He's coming soon. I know any time he's gonna be pulling in the driveway, and she's trying to get the brownies just right. Trying to get this food just right, exactly right for him, because you want to be such a pleasing to him when he comes. And you're working on these things. You know what, you think I was gonna criticize her for her hair not being fixed? You think God's going to criticize his bride? Your failures? Look at your failures. Didn't you know I was coming for the rapture? Didn't you know I was coming? No. God looks inside the heart. The very deep call to the deep inside the heart. Because he knows inside. I knew in her heart, she was trying to make me happy. And she did a good job. As a salesman says, that means you got to sell. And the young people, you hit a baseball. But and the salesman, that's what we'll do if we're struggling with something. If you're working a deal and you finally get it, you look over and you'll say, yeah, so if you ever see a salesman do that, you'll know what happened. He just got a car sale. I'm telling you what, she made the sale. When she did that, because her heart was right. Her heart was right. And I'm telling you what, Brother Graham said, I would rather see somebody have the wrong doctrine and the right spirit. Because eventually, if they have the right spirit, that doctrine will line up. And we're at a day now, there's no reason to walk in wrong doctrine.
Amen.
So we have full light today. That's wonderful.
Amen.
That means we don't have to walk in fear anymore. There was a time when people could walk in fear because there was so much doubt. But thank be to God. He gave us a message. There's light in the evening time. He would show us the light where we can walk. I can know who I am. I've always known truths about what I believe to be truths, and everyone else said it wasn't. But I heard a prophet come by and preach it. I said, I've always known that's right. I've always known. You say amen? Just like that little eagle sitting down there in that chicken pen, and he was scratching, trying to dig worms. He was trying to, but something on the inside of him says, there's got to be something more. There was a deep call to the deep inside him. In order for that little eaglet to have a deep call to the deep, there had to be a mommy out there somewhere. Had to be. There was a call on the inside of him, and here one day, a mommy comes screaming that wonderful, beautiful scream. And that little eaglet, can you imagine the feeling he feels? Like, oh, that's it. That's me. I'm telling you what, that's the way I feel about the rapture. Can you say amen? Honestly, can you say by amen? I believe there is a rapture. There's a deep call for it. If there's a deep call inside me for a rapture, there's a rapture for me to have. Thanks be to God. But I'm going to make it, not because of me, but because of Him, before the foundation of the world. Now, should we continue in sin? God forbid. Amen? Should I continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid. If we have that revelation, our revelation's wrong. Because whenever we see the true revelation of sin, I am truly forgiven, I never want to do those wicked things ever again. Mm-hmm. I think Brother Tony tapped on this just the other day. I'll go ahead and I'll listen to so many sermons, they blend together. I can't remember who was preaching. I just love that how they're all preaching the same thing. Now, Brother Graham talked one time, he said, I'm going to go overseas. He said, when I go overseas, he says, you talk to any other man? When I come back, you're a divorced woman. She looks at him and says, all right. When you're over there, you talk to another woman? You're a divorced man. He says, all right. Now, ain't that a wonderful marriage? But he said, you know what? Even if I was to make the mistake, if I was to fail, to fall, and make the mistake and do that, I believe she'd surely forgive. Because she loves me. And that's the way, same way it is with us, a believer. If I make a mistake, though I would never do it intentionally, God forgive me if I ever would. If I was to make a mistake, I believe He'd forgive me. But I would never intentionally want to do that. You say amen? Mm-hmm. We would never intentionally want to walk out on the Lord. We would never dare intentionally go out and hurt our wife. And she wouldn't dare hurt her husband. When you look at a husband and a wife, look how much perverted the world has made a husband and a wife today.
Yeah.
So perverted. What God wants is us to see ourselves in the position that He put us in before the foundation of the world, in a position of authority. Let's go to Revelations 1, 5, and 6. It's not her fault, it's mine. I didn't get the scriptures to her in time. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. A slothful king, and God's made us kings. Everybody agree with that? How many kings we got in here? Praise the Lord. I like to see participation. That means you're awake. God has made us kings and priests in the Lord our God. But you know what? You can take a slothful king that is drunk every day, he doesn't pay attention to his business, he won't have a very strong kingdom very long. But he's got to be a king that's got to be alert. Number one, he's got to respect the position he's in. Respect his position because he knows the people under him depend on him. And you take any king that backslides, that whole nation will suffer for it. You look at David in the scriptures, it's a perfect example. Is that right, brother?
Yeah.
Whenever the person in authority is in a backslidden condition, everybody underneath them will suffer for it. I want you to go to the scripture for me. In Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. I want you to listen to these words very clearly. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles,
had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it. Now, what you think about this? This is a man that's looking at this wall. He's studying it. He's seeing all the thistles and everything growing all over. He sees the wall is torn down. And this is a man standing in the field. He's looking at it. He's studying it. He said, I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep in. Whenever you, hold it right there. Whenever you are, and when everything is good, and everything's taken care of, all the cattle have been taken care of, all the sheep are taken care of, all the children are put to bed, you can fold the hands, put them on your stomach, and go to sleep and say, everything is taken care of. Okay, go into the next scripture. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Think of this. We got a wall that's torn down. Weeds grown all over it. He says, and though you're as an armed man, you're going to be wanting. You ever seen a gated community that's got a gate, up? They do a gated community. Why? Protection, right? Because they want protection. How hard would it be to tear that gate down? Hook a chain up to it and pull it right down. A lot of that gate isn't just for the strength of that gate. It's a sign. When somebody sees that gate, they walk up and they see the gate. They say, this place is maintained and there is security on location. And they're watching. So we better go to the one that don't have a gate. One that don't have a wall. One that don't have bars on the windows. That's the one we want to go as a thief. That's the one we want to go to. Because this gated community, it don't have weeds drawn over it. You know what that means? It's maintained. Because if there was weeds growing all over the gate, they could look at that gate and they can say, yeah, they've got a gate, but no one maintains that. You can tell there ain't no guard on duty. That's the house we're going to hit. See, a gate isn't just necessarily just for the strength of the gate. It's a sign. This place is protected. You know, Brother Bram said that we have a token. And the token is having the blood over the door. Amen? And that blood on the door, just because you have blood on the door, you could take something inside. That blood isn't going to physically stop you from going in the door, but it is a sign. That token is a sign that this house, has accepted the pardon. We are identified with our sacrifice. This is our sign. This is what we are putting. We are on duty. We are maintaining the blood on this door. We are maintaining the gate in front of this house. And when you put a gate out, you want all the weeds taken off of this gate, off this wall. You want to tear all the weeds down. Why? I want anybody that drives by here, I want them to see this place is protected. This place is protected from afar. If you're coming halfway up the street, I want you to see my wall, my gate. Because my house is protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you come around me at work, my gate, my wall is built. I want everybody to see from afar, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of my strength, not because of what I can do, because I know I'll fail myself. I'll fail in the same way that gate, someone can rip it off. But it's my sign. I have a standard. You don't talk about that garbage around me. Because if you do, I want to tell you what you need to hear. Amen? It's my gate. It's my wall. That means in order for me to do that, I have to constantly maintain that gate. I want to be out there with my WD-40. I want to spray the hinges up. I want to make sure all the weeds are wool. I want it to be a clear sign in front of anybody. I want anybody to see this place is maintained. You say amen. This place, this house, this church, this vessel is maintained by the blood. I'm not going to depend on my token that I did here a long time ago. It's a fresh token. I want to freshly apply myself to this word every day. I want to freshly rededicate my heart to the Lord. I want to freshly renew my vows to the Lord. I want to freshly. You know what happens a lot of times between teenagers and their fathers especially?
So many things happen that you don't have that fellowship like you once had. At one time, you would fellowship, you would talk, you do all these things, but things happen. Work happens. Things happen, and before you know it, son is further and further and further that way. Dad is further, further, further this way. Same way with a husband and a wife. Same way with a mother and a daughter. All these things, at one time, you work together, you maintain the relationship, you would always work, iron things out. Like my wife would iron those wrinkles out. You have to iron those relationships out. But what happens is, little by little, that old devil will chip, 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 chip. He'll work on that relationship and get you further and further and further away. And at one time, daddy was the most powerful man in the world. And now, all you see is faults and failures. At one time, Henry was doing all. He was such a good kid. He did all these things. He does all these great things because you're in such fellowship. You're renewed every day about all the things he's done. He took the trash out today. He raked the yard today. He mowed the yard today. He did all these things today. You're freshly renewed with all these things, and you're meditating on all the good things he's done. And because you're meditating on that, that's what you think about. And when you look at him, that's the way you see him. You see all the good things he's done. Oh my, that's how it is with us and God. Whenever we're in fellowship with God every single day, we're talking with God every day, we're seeing what he's done. He's done this. He created the worlds. He separated the waters. He's done all these things. We are maintaining our relationship with God. And we're doing that. We are building our relationship with God. And we are meditating on the Lord. You say, amen. How hard is it today the devil will try everything in the world to keep you from meditating on the Lord? How hard will the devil try to work to separate fellowship between father and son, daughter and mother, brother and brother, sister and sister? He'll tear down those relationships. We got to maintain them, friends. Maintain it by the blood. I don't mean to keep you so long before I'm having such a good time. But then says, now, what is it? First, a token. It's a word that's commonly used among we English-speaking people, especially here in America. A token is, really, the dictionary says, a token is a sign. It's a sign of a fare, a price paid. See, that fare or a price, a required price, has been paid. Like a fare on a railroad or a fare on a bus line, you go in and purchase your fare, and then they give you a token. And that token cannot be spent for nothing else but to that railroad line. It is a token to the railroad company. And you have paid your fare. It's a token. And you can't spend it for nothing else. It doesn't work on any other line. It just works on that line only. It's a token. Now down here, and we're speaking of where we're starting, is God saying to Israel, the blood of the lamb is a token for you. Israel's lamb slain was Jehovah's required token. It must be the blood. God made a token and gave it to Israel, and no other token will work. See, it cannot be recognized. To the world, it's a bunch of foolishness. Well, the way we live our life as believers to the world is foolishness. Could he say amen? But to God, it's the only way. The only thing that he requires is that token. It must be there. You cannot have the token until the fare is paid. Then you are possessors of the token, which gives you the privilege of a free pass. I'll see the blood, and I'll pass over you. What a time that, what a privilege to know that you pack within you the pass. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's the only thing that he'll recognize. It's nothing else that can take its place. No substitute, no denomination, no nothing else. It takes that. God said, that alone will I see. No matter how righteous they was, how good they was, how much education they had, how they dressed, the token was the only thing. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. The blood was a token, and the requirement of Jehovah had met that it had to be done. The blood stood for the token. The blood was the token, see? One last quote, it says, therefore we know that we're at the end time. And this is
he that is in you. Therefore, we know that we're at the end. We're here. I don't know how far away. He'll never let us know that. But because he's coming, we'll be as a thief in the night, my friends, my brother, sister. Let us be ready regardless. Let us chase ourselves, see? Because the world will go right on. Listen to this. They'll never know it happened. When the doors of mercy is closed, preachers will be preaching salvation, be causing people to repent, going right on just like it always did. It did in all the other ages. And it did, it will be in this age. And the rapture will be so sudden, so quick, that the world will never even miss them, that they're gone, right? They'll never know about it. He comes and slips her away. It'll be gone. They'll know nothing about it. I want to be ready. Say amen. I want to be ready for this. Rapture's going to take place. People will still go to church. People, preachers will still be preaching. And don't even realize the rapture had already taken place. And they didn't even know it. I'm so thankful for a message. Because you know what? If I knew, we thought someone tried to break into our house the other day through one of our windows. If I was to know the hour he would be there, I'd be standing there watching over the window with the curtains. And then as soon as I see him open the curtain, I'm like, hello. You think I'd scare him to death? He'd run halfway up the street. I'm thankful for a house that's protected by the blood. But you know what? It didn't say the Lord will be a thief, but it'll be as a thief. He'll come as a thief when the people don't even expect it. He goes to church this time every Sunday like clockwork. That's when we'll hit the house. Lord, if I'm at the church house, if I'm at work, Brother Tony, we sung that song. Help me out. That's a good one too. If my heart is right. Amen. But Tony gives a wonderful explanation on that. And I love that. But Brother Brum says scripture's going to have a double meaning. My double meaning on that song is, if my heart is right, when he calls me, I'm keeping my wall maintained. If my heart is right, I will hear. You forgot a spot. If my heart is right, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere, listening for my name, maintaining my wall. If my robe is white, when he calls me, here's a thorn. If my robe is white, I will hear. I need some WD-40. Amen? I'm going to be maintaining my wall every day, singing to the Lord. You know how to stay happy? Sing to the Lord. If I start getting depressed, I start singing. So if you start hearing me singing, you can either say, well, Daniel's happy, or he's getting happy. One of the two. Amen? We should always be meditating on the Lord. I told you so many times, I remember I was pumping gas, and I was, I'll tell you the most recent one. That was the other one. Most recent one, I was out there, I was filling up gas. We fill up another little fill still. Kind of weird, but the other one was Little Field all the way in Stigler, Oklahoma. Now it's Little Field here in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I was out here, I was filling up. They had a new lady that's the new attendant. And every time I'd come in, and usually they all know my name, because I'm funny, I always say, I'm Daniel with a D. And they say, is there any other way for Daniel? I was like, well, no, but you remember. So anytime I come in there, they'd always say, here's Daniel with a D, because they always remember that. Well, there was this new lady, and I'd fill my gas up. Every time I go in there, I don't mean to be. I'm just bubbling on the inside. There's something inside here that made me a believer, and ever since then, I can't stop it. I'm happy. I was inside there, and I was waiting behind, and I'm kind of fidgety anyway. I'm standing back there, and I got up there and with my ticket, and this new lady, she said, all right, I've seen you three different times now. Every time you come in here, you're happy. Now, are you just selling cars, or are you just really this happy? I said, well, I ain't sold a thing all month. This is in October. I said, it ain't that. I'll guarantee you that. I said, I'm telling you what, I'm so glad to be a Christian. I said, it makes me so happy. She said, well, that's something that's real. And she went dive on her computer. You say it, man. The world thinks we're crazy. They think we're foolish because we got something inside of us that makes us happy. Anybody need your happy cup filled? I'm telling you what, he's here to fill it this morning.
Because Satan cannot steal your salvation. He can steal the joy of your salvation. He can't take your Holy Ghost. But you know, you can get a refilling this morning. Get a refilling of that Holy Ghost. God, refill me. I want to feel bubbly again. I want to feel happy again. I want to feel like a Christian again. Because sometimes, if you go by feelings, you don't feel like a Christian sometimes. You think Job felt like a Christian sitting on the ash heap, picking up sores? Glory to God. There's another scab. No. I'm sure when he sat there on that ash heap, he was miserable. He said, "Oh God, if it be your will, just take me away, if it be your will." But he would not curse the Lord. His wife even told him to curse the Lord and die, Job. He said, "You speak as a foolish woman." He's a sovereign God. Amen. Let's just stand. I'm going to keep preaching if we don't. Tell you what, if somebody, you say, "You know what, I need another tablespoon of happiness." Won't you get that tablespoon this morning? If you need another tablespoon of a desire of sincerity, get a tablespoon of that this morning. If you need a tablespoon of healing, get that tablespoon this morning. Deliverance, get that tablespoon this morning. Because he's here. The I am that I am, the same God that put the woman, the baby inside of Hannah, the same God that parted the waters, the same God that saved Brother Daniel, the same God that saved you, is here this morning. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful for that. You know, they talk about that fire department. This fire department, first one was out there, and that fire chief stood out there, and he said, "All right," he just walked with a hand behind his back, said, "Spray a little water there. Spray a little water here. Spray a little water here." And then you hear this screeching noise coming around the corner. And this man from Louisville, the fire chief, was on the ladder, and the truck hadn't even come to a stop yet, and the ladder's going up towards hell. So he said, "Come on, boys!" He's going through, and the ladder's going up with the truck, and he's got the water hose in hand. He's spraying. That's my Lord Jesus. I'm telling you what, he's here with us this morning. He's the fire chief, and he's ready to help us. He's ready to put out fires, and there's fires he's put out. He's here to meet every need. I tell you what, I want to see God move today, amen. I want to see God move. If you need more of this stuff, he's here this morning, but you have to receive it. You got to accept it. Anybody else has need of prayer, would you just, you're welcome to come forth. We'll be glad to pray with you. You can accept it right at your seat. But let none of us leave this place without our tablespoon of what we have need of. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I love being a Christian. I love it so much, Lord. It's so wonderful, Lord. Lord, in the same way a husband, when he finally meets his wife, Lord, and they're wed, they can truly say, "Oh, I'm one, Lord. This is what I've been needing." Or in a 10,000 magnitude, Lord Jesus, it's whenever we realize our position as your bride, Lord. Oh, God, I love to be a Christian. I love to be the bride, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, if there's hands up in the building today, Lord, that you'd walk the aisles right now, Lord. Lord, if they need a tablespoon of love this morning, Lord, if they need a tablespoon of deliverance, Lord, just a little bit more joy in their life, oh God, a little bit more peace in the home, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, I ask you, walk the aisles and fill every cup, Lord. Oh, God, both my hands are up, Lord. I say, give me the double dose this morning, Lord. I want the double portion of that Holy Ghost. Let me be so happy, Lord, that people can see me like that wall a mile away. They'll say, "My goodness, that's a man on fire for God." Lord, may that same thing be for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, their hands up, Lord. Help them to be a sustained wall, Lord. Moving all the weeds out of their life. All the weeds away from their relationships, God. Lord, fill their cups this morning, Lord. Lord God, bless this church. Bless our pastor, oh God. Help my precious brother to be just continuing like that firefighter from Louisville. Help him to keep pressing in the battle for us, Lord. Lord, bless our brother. Bless his family, Lord. Lord God, meet every need today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let my musician come forth. Musicians, if she'd like to come as well. I'm telling you what, let's not let this moment leave. Let's sing to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love to be a Christian. You say amen? Amen. I just love to be a Christian. Brother Tony, let's sing that song, "If My Heart Is Right." Let's just sing that song again. I like that song.
My Savior calls, I will answer.
this spot over here.
Protection, you know, Brother Daniel was said a lot of things, like I know he mentioned there about this psalm, and you know, we covered this a few weeks ago about how that Brother Branham took us through, and he said there's two schools of doctrine in the church, and mm-hmm. one is the Calvinist and one is the Arminianist, one's a legalist and one is one that's grace, and he said they're both wrong, right? Because you can go too far this way with grace and too far this way with legalism, and he said they're both wrong, but they're also, he said, they're also both right, because it's a mixture of the two. Mm-hmm. And so what Brother Daniel said about this song is right, just like what I said at the beginning of the service about this song is right.
Amen.
It's both of them are right.
That's right.
Is for us to come into a revelation to know that by the grace of God we're there.
Uh-huh.
But that does not alleviate the fact that you need to keep your wall protected.
Amen.
Right. And I can tell you that in the midst of the ride, there are people that's making the mistake of both of those, and they need to make sure both of them are there,
yeah.
right? To maintain, because I heard a minister recently, and this just coming to mind, and it's really good, you know, how one of the mysteries that was Brother Brown covered before he left was how that Paul talked about how that Abraham, that it was by grace it was imputed to him, that he believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He said, believe without works, right? He believed without works and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then James comes along and said it was by works.
Uh-huh.
And so it looked like it's contrary. And Brother Redden, that was, since it was there, had to be addressed, right?
Right?
So just before he left, one of the things he preached was works is faith expressed. And he addressed that and showed that Paul was speaking about our walk, what God sees by faith. He sees the faith in our heart. He sees that we believe his word, and he imputes righteousness to us because of that.
Yeah.
Right? But then he said James was talking about what people see. Right? And so I heard a minister recently speaking on this, and I thought it was really good, because we are a city that's set on a hill, right? The bride of Christ,
uh-huh.
sitting on that mountain. And Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill can't be hid, right? You don't light a candle and hide it, right? You don't light the church ages and then try to hide it.
Uh-huh.
So God intended for this gospel to go into the bride, and for the bride to be that city set on a hill that everybody in the world could see, or to be that light that was lit in the dark in the ages, that candles that was lit for it to be seen, not to be hid. Okay, so he wants the world to see us, to see who we are, and see what we are. And so if we take up the attitude that, well, God knows my heart, and what you believe in your heart never manifests in the flesh, then you're not a city set on a hill.
Right.
And what I'm trying to say is that that how is it the world sees that you're the bride of Jesus Christ? They don't see what's in your heart.
Uh-huh.
They have to see what you put in manifestation in your works.
Amen.
So works is faith expressed. So this it had to be there. That mystery had to come out. And there's the balance where we are. We know that we're saved by grace, but we've got to put it out on display so the world can see it.
That's right.
You see the difference? And that was a mystery. And if there's anybody, if I shall say this, the only ones on the face of the earth that'll have that down pat and right is going to be the bride of Christ. She will know her position, that she's there. But I'll tell you what, if there's anybody that's going to keep her wall, it's going to be her.
Amen.
Right? Because if she don't keep her wall, if she don't dress right, she don't look right, act right, go the right places, if she isn't singing happy when she goes into the Quickie Mart to get gas or something, if she's not like that, the world's not going to see anything.
Yeah.
You see? So it's just a cop-out when the devil comes along and says, well, God knows your heart. He knows that you really love Him. You don't have to worry about what you wear. It don't matter. Satan's trying to put your candle out.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's right. That's a good thing, Brother Daniel brought up there. We want to maintain that wall. I remember one time when we went on a trip down to Mexico, and it was a trip Brian Melton went with us down there. But we stayed in these people's home, and they have down there, they build these great open huge walls around their place, and they put all these sharp glass and stuff sticking out on top because there's so much crime and it's so dangerous, they have to protect themselves. And these walls, some of them are, you know, I don't know, 15, 18, 20 feet tall. And you wouldn't, you know, someone would have to have a ladder to get over it. But then, so they got this wall like a, you know, around their place, and then their home is inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, you're perfectly safe with inside those walls. But yet on their homes inside, they have all these bars on their windows and stuff. And we were getting ready for bed the first night we were there. And Brother Prater and myself and Brother Brian was all in one room. And the bed was shoved up against the wall, and there was a window right there. And the window had bars on it. But the window itself was open. And so we were just about ready to turn the light out, and the mother, the woman of the house, she come walking down the hall, and she did a double take, and I mean, you know, she come in that room climbing over the top of all of us, and she was just like that, and right over the bed and climbing over everything, and reached and shut that window, shut that whatever it was that was there. Because even though their bars were there, somebody could have reached in, maybe with a knife, and stabbed the person and laid her in bed.
Yeah.
And she knew that. And so what was she doing? She's protecting, putting up that barrier, making sure that barrier was there for her guest.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And I mean, we didn't know what she was saying, but I can tell you what was on her heart by the way that she acted. And she wanted to make sure that that barrier was there, that nobody could possibly get hurt in her home. And that I always remember that. Brother Brian, every once in a while, you'd hear him talk about it because it was so hilarious how that, you know, here we are, we're in the message, and, you know, sisters would never go in a room where brothers are going to be trying to lay down and go to sleep at night or nothing like that, you know. She come right through there. You know, it was just like, wow, what's she doing? But she was trying to protect us, and she's putting that wall up there, you know. And so we can never base doctrine upon experience without the Word. Right? Never base it on experience. It's got to be on the Word. And Brother Daniel's talking about this. I've mentioned in the past where Brother Branham was past the curtain of time, and he rehearsed it how that they said, well, Paul, he will be judged, and his people, if he's accepted by what he preached, if the doctrine he laid out, if that was accepted, then his people will be, because they're his converts and they believed him. And Brother Branham said, you know, is it like that with all him? He said, yeah. It's like that we're all of them. Brother Brim said, well, and remember, he described that dimension as being beyond sublime.
That's right.
No words, no human words could describe that place. No sin, no sickness, no lies, no pain, no sorrows, nothing but just eternal joy. And in that dimension, this is all unfolding.
Yeah.
So while it's all unfolding and this conversation is going on between Brother Branham and that angel standing and all those people coming up and hugging him and saying, our precious brother, this is all happening in a place where there can't be no lie. Can't be no deception. And Brother Branham said, well, if Paul gets in, then I will too. Because I've not divvied one bit from what Paul taught.
Yeah.
Right? Couldn't have been a lie for him to say that. So it was rock solid truth that he had preached the same gospel Paul taught. And we know scripturally that Paul is the one that laid the foundation. And anybody that's going to be in the Gentile church has to be built on that foundation, because he was the one that started it and laid it. So you have to take heed how you build on it. And it has to be on that. And anybody that's not on that foundation is not in that broad church. Right? So Paul went and preached it. And so Brother Ram said, well, then if he makes it, I'll make it in. And that was truth. Right? But all them saints, all them people that was there, shouted with one voice, we're resting on that. Resting on what? Resting on the fact that we know that Brother Branham came and he did not change what that foundation was. He built upon what was there, and all those truths that was there he kept, and all the places where the loose ends need to be tied up, he tied them up and stayed on the foundation to do it. And that meant something to the saints in that dimension, where there couldn't be no lie. It meant something to them to say, hey, we're resting on that, that William Branham did not teach us something contrary to the gospel of all. And I would say that if in that dimension it made a difference to them, I think we've got to have that same attitude now.
Amen.
To be thankful that when all the rest of the world wants to go this way and that way and say Paul was a woman hater and all these different things, we know people that we've been to church with ourselves that call Paul a woman hater now. But when all they want to do that, we ought to be thankful and say, praise God, we got a message that didn't deviate, what didn't change the word and call it experience instead. Just like he was talking about women preachers and all that sort of thing. On experience, but not on the word.
Right.
So we've got to stay with the word. We've got to stay with what Paul taught. Stay with the message. And when you do that, you're building, you're protecting that wall. You're keeping that wall fortified. And that's certainly what we want to do. We don't want to rest on anything other than that. When God says something, it's so. And when he gave those seven visions to Brother Branham in 1933... and said those things would come to pass, and they've come to pass just like that. And that next to the last one was talking about a woman in authority, and we know perhaps the Catholic Church, and we know that's already happened, but it also looks like it could be that he was really talking about a woman president. But my point is, the very next one after that was America laying in ruins from destruction.
That's right.
And these things have happened, bam, 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 bam. And here we are. And all I can say is that the events that have happened in our nation has taken these things that God has spoken and has hung it right out there. And of course, the Bride of Christ is the only one that's truly going to understand this, okay? Understand what's happening here. And the rest of the world is probably going to miss it. But he's taken these things that have been spoken and hangs it right out there where it's coming out in the news and it's everything and it's right there and you can't deny anything at all about it. You have to say it's right. And so, if we wind up with a woman president, that's going to mean a lot more to us than it will anybody else, because we know what it means. We know that there's only one thing left after that. Amen. So, it's what he speaks in his word, and that's what we have to stay with. As I mentioned the other day, the word is the highest communication that there is, highest form of communication there is with the Lord. Amen. The song, I don't know what the name of it is, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. On the end of that. I mean, he's glad that he's saved.
Amen.
I'm watching him sing it in. Things Brother Branham said so many times that one of these days the Bible will be closed on the pulpit. Last time, last sermon to be preached. Do you realize this one today could be the last one?
Yeah.
Sure could. There's evil forces out there in the world that's going to keep right on doing what they are because they can't. They can't do anything else but that. But the Bride of Christ is marching upward. Thank you, Lord. Say. price. It says so rich and free, but it wasn't free. There was a big price to pay. It's free to us. Amen. Just want to remind everyone, I mentioned the other day, I'd like to have communion pretty soon, so I think we're going to try for 2 weeks from today. That would be January 1st. A lot of people have it on New Year's Eve, and that's okay because we're not going to do a New Year's Eve service. But I would like to have communion start off the year.
Yes.
And so, you know, between now and then, I hope that you inventory your life every day, every hour, really, honestly, all the time. But definitely between now and then, just inventory your life, and anything that you need to give attention to, just give attention to that so that we can really start off the year. And I'm not much of one for New Year's resolutions or anything like that, but we can start off the year. Just use it as a place where you can drive a stake in the ground and say, you know, this particular time I reconsecrated myself. We should really do that every day, but we certainly want to do that. So I would like to have communion on the Sunday morning of the 1st of January, and we will probably just make it into the morning service, just after we get through the morning sermon, we'll just go ahead and go into communion service so everybody can make their way home. Okay? So if that's not going to work for anybody, just let me know and we'll do what we can to accommodate everyone. But if you love the Lord, you appreciate what you heard this morning.
Yes.
It's always truth. I think we were talking the other day, Brother Daniel, we're talking that the Word of God is anointed.
Yeah.
And if you want to be anointed, let that Word of God be inside your heart.
Yes.
And it's true. Whatever a man has inside, that's what he's going to speak about. Yeah. Let's sing this again as you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you.